Everybody, welcome to episode 11 of the Supercar Cast. This is the last of three lost episodes that we had some technical issues with this year. You'll notice that there's some sudden cuts and some jumps where we had to cut out sections where we had audio issues. So bear with us, but this should be the last of that series. It's a pretty good one. Andre bought another new car, and it's an interesting story. So hopefully you guys enjoy, and stay tuned for hopefully when we return back to studio, or at the very least, improve our audio recording. Thanks for listening. Which one?
Oh boy.
Yeah,
well. let's get into it though, because then I don't want to lose these stories because they gotta be good.
I mean, I hope so. All right. Well, welcome to whatever episode number this is of the Supercar Cast. That's what this is called, right?
Yeah, Supercar Cast, I think.
Okay.
Not so forgot. Super recording.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been what, at least a month, maybe more, 2 months? Jesus.
I think maybe two.
Yeah, we lost an episode in there, so I mean, it's certainly been longer since an episode has gone out. So, dang, welcome back. My name is Oliver. Joining me are my fellow hosts, Drew, Andre, and Nick. You guys want to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, all right. Well, we're back and still remote, but you know, I keep promising like the audio quality is going to go up every episode, and then
nope.
We just don't do anything about it. So, deal with it, listeners. Deal with it.
Eventually. I could always deal set up like my Sennheiser microphone and do like full recording setup, but then my voice would sound really good, and everybody be like, "Why is everybody else talking to a trash can?"
Well, and also, I can only
Josh.
Imagine. Oh, poor Josh. Even he doesn't listen to this anymore. He's gonna like unsubscribe when he sees it hits his feed. He's like, I don't remember subscribing to this.
Hey, it's only fair. He listens to one episode. We watch one of his videos.
I give him a thumbs up whether or not I finish the video. So it works.
There you go.
Did you like subscribe and comment?
I did subscribe. I don't comment, but
terrible friend.
Don't forget to ring that bell. So you get all the latest alerts.
And you can follow us on Instagram and.
We just plug Overland AZ for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
New Snapchat, Overland AZ.
That's more interesting than anything we got, right?
Probably, yeah.
Actually, I do love Josh's channel. Because even though I'm not very Overlandy myself, the videos are a lot of fun. And I love his drone footage. So there's a proper shout out if you're looking for an Overland channel.
Yes.
Go check it out.
Yeah, if you're looking for an Overland channel, this is not your podcast.
Well, don't be so quick to say that.
Actually, two of us have pretty capable rigs.
We'll see about that. I don't know where
new interior.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you're jumping the gun there. We got stories to tell about that, but I guess we can transition there because I don't have much else to say about the M3 beyond that. But yeah, I bought your seats because you bought stuff for the 930. You want to go over that?
Yeah. So, I've a couple weeks ago, it all started out with this wrecked 911. It was like an 87 SC in Peoria. And for some reason, we live on the east side of Phoenix. For some reason, no matter what car it is, it could be a Civic, it could be a truck, it could be a Porsche in this situation. It always comes from the west side. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever comes from the east side. It's very frustrating.
Yep.
West side? Like,
yeah.
But
I recognized that this car had it was a Porsche Cup steering wheel that I'd been like just craving over for years and without anything to really put it in. And I just recently acquired the 930. I'm like, yep, here we go. And so I bought that off of him, and while I was there, he had this red interior, and he was asking way too much. And so, like, every week or so, it was sitting on Craigslist, and I'd have my brother-in-law or, like, one of my friends just reach out and be like, hey, man, would you take, you know, X amount of dollars? And, finally I got him down to a price that was like, all right, this is acceptable.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, a lipstick red interior and with SC seats. It's, you know, thank goodness for my brother-in-law Aaron. I've had him for like the last 2 weeks and I've just been really busy and like just kept looking at this project like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna have to cut new speaker holes, I'm gonna have to take off the door cards, I'm gonna have to do a bunch of work. Mm-hmm. And he came over. I had worked like a 12-hour day. He's like, hey dude, I'm coming over at 6 and we're putting your seats in. I'm like, okay. And he just came over and just rocked it out. Like him and then my buddy Eric came over as well. And they were just helping me out. And we ended up pulling the roll cage. The roll cage is gone now. Did the door cards. It looks really well or really good. But the best part is like we went to 4 till 4 that Saturday and I drove it there. And as I said, I worked crazy hours. Like, you know, I worked 12 hours that day. And then, we started at 6:30 and we finished it. I went to bed at 3 a.m. We got done at 2:30 and then we were back up at 6 to go to 4 till 4. And, which I can't remember the last time I did something like that is actually, speaking of the E46 where I swapped a clutch on there and pulled out the transmission. That was the last time I did something like that, like just a marathon. And you know, it's funny because when you're doing it, you're kind of like, God, this is miserable, but those end up are the best memories that just grind. You know, I remember doing that with my Prelude, everything like that, but I digress. You know, so my back was kind of hurting and I'm like walk around 4 till 4. And then I sat down in the 9:30. I was like, I'm actually comfortable. Like I have headspace. I can drive the car properly without feeling like I have to slouch or anything like that. And so it's really cool. And it's really helped the car become more of mine, I would say. And then on Sunday, I drove the kids and my wife and we just went, drove around the neighborhood and got a Starbucks and it was like the best thing ever for them. So that was pretty cool. I
mean, not having a cage in the back means you can actually put kids back there. So
yeah, it's a very safe car for kids too.
Yeah. It's funny, just as a side tangent though, because you're talking about comfort and like the seats that you had in or what I bought for my M3. And I just want to point out that like I bought those seats from you. And then what was it? 3 days later, you and your friend Eric, who helped tow the M3 over, you guys were both telling me how much you hated those seats and how uncomfortable they are.
Yeah, I know. I think about it every time, but honestly, they're fine when you're sitting in them, like on the ground, like when they're out of the car. It's the roof line and the 911 and how tall I am that makes it just unbearable for me. Yeah.
There's a photo. I'll see if I can pull it up and put it on our Instagram of you driving the 930 down the freeway. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And your head is like in the roof and you're like slouched over. Yeah. Those seats in 911 really made the interior feel like claustrophobic. I think it'll be a lot better in the M3 because it has a bigger greenhouse.
Yeah. And then they built the previous owner, or I guess two owners ago, they put like this fiberglass housing around this really cool shift. Gosh, why can't I remember the name? It's a funky name, but yeah, it's a shifter and it's a really cool piece of like art in a sense. And being able to see that is pretty cool. And I can also use my e-brake now, which is amazing. So I don't know, like next thing on that's wheels. And then I have a color correction scheduled for it, along with ceramic coat. And if I can find my wheels, I'll be excited, but I don't know when that will come across.
What version of Fuchs are you getting?
You know, I was thinking the deep dish 16s, but huh. I really want a set of OZ Futuras, but they're very difficult to find. A couple of years ago, I could have found them for like 2 years ago. I could have found them for like $1,100 all day, but I've only seen one set and it was $1,700 just for the faces. I was like, oof, I wasn't ready.
Yeah. I know a guy, after this remind me, I know a guy who deals pretty much exclusively in, air cooled faces.
Oh, cool.
Then he's out in LA and he builds wheels too. So if he doesn't know or have the faces,
it's not the guy that happened to put those on his, is it?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think we're going to have the same guy. Anyway, he should be able to help you track him down when you're ready. Or at the very least, he may even have a set, honestly, sitting around. He's got so many damn wheels.
Realistically, like if I found them, I'd pull the trigger on them because I don't know when I'll find them again. And I know it's going to be a process to do, you know, to get them built out to my spec and then also to get the color I want and everything like that. So it's going to be a little bit of a process, but it'll be, I think it'll be well worth it in the end. And then the Magnus Walker wheels should sell pretty quick. Those are pretty desirable. There's like a 7-month wait to get those for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, everything's backed up and production and everything's a mess right now. So everything's...
Oh, I guess it's probably a year because it was pre-COVID when it was like 7 months out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, someone else who knows all about building wheels right about now.
yeah.
Nick, aren't you starting on a set of wheels?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't getting into that quite yet, but yes, I am.
Unless we have more on the Porsche, but I thought that was about it in terms of interior and whatnot.
Yeah, the only other thing is I'm trying to find a alignment shop for the 912. I'm contemplating pulling the motor in that and just selling it so I can start building the motor that I want for it, but yeah.
Nice. That'd be cool. I got an alignment shop for you. I'll give you all the suggestions. Just remind me. Write these down.
Cool. Yeah, I know like Porsches are a little bit funky, but yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, let's hear it, man. What are we building?
Well, the wheels that have been sitting around for a year coming up on. So the Autostrada Modena's 4x4s, which is really a works wheel, I found out. I was today's year old. I messaged Oliver this week when I was trying to find an inner barrel because one of them is dented and like it just definitely looks like it might be one of those where it could be fine, but it also might not balance. So I'm just like, it's just not worth like building building the full wheel. So starting to build those out. I'd contemplated if I was going to step out the lip a little bit more to go a little bit wider, but I think I'm just going to keep the specs on what it is, which is 17x8+0.
Plus zero. What does that feel like?
The 4Runner.
Oh, okay.
It's for the Miata.
Well, so, I don't know.
Well, no, it's... yeah, so building those, finally kind of determined the color. It is Oliver's favorite color that I am going to powder coat the faces and the rear barrels, which
purple?
Is BMW silver.
Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite powder. Every car I've had, I've powder coated something in that color. That's my Brembos or BMW silver.
So it's a super solid color. Should look pretty well. I've been trying to hunt down center caps. I messaged a guy in Canada because he had a set. And then I was like 2 days late to getting to him when I found him. And they cost half the price of the wheels to begin with, just for the center caps.
Because vintage Japanese wheels.
That was a choke point there. So starting to get those ready, been working on the 4Runner. I gutted the full interior of the 4Runner.
I was going to say, you've been doing proper project car things.
Yeah, so I've been doing proper car project things again. So I...
You gutted the interior of the 4Runner?
Yeah, I gutted it literally.
It wasn't Miata enough for him.
So it was...
Diamond stitching coming?
Yep. Already in there.
Yep.
Literally.
Literally already in there. I'll get to that. So what happened was... The driver's seat in its current configuration would like hurt your back on long drives. Oliver can attest to this.
I took it to Tucson and back, and like I know I have a bad back. I know that's kind of like the running joke, but I don't think any human can sit in that seat for any extended amount of time and not be in agony. It was like slumped into the window.
Yeah, I remember going to Radwood and now realizing the pain that I had constantly every time we stopped.
Right.
So I was like, all right. Then I found a set of Recaros from a Ford Focus RS and went to modify those to get those to fit in. Turns out those are double the size of the seats that like I took out. So I got the seat fitted in and then my head hit the roof. Like I couldn't. And then my feet, I couldn't. Like it was like riding in California Adventures. Like one of those, like float through the sky thing. Like it was like my knees were in the top of the dash and my head was in the roof. So it was not great. Then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead. And then I found a set of seats So I actually ended up using Corbo, their trail cat, wildcat, I think, or something of that nature, something cat seats.
Cat seats.
And the moment I picked up that seat, though, I went, man, this carpet is disgusting. And then I looked up, I'm like, man, this headliner
this is how it begins.
Man, this headliner is disgusting.
So what motor are you putting in there, Nick?
Not getting there yet. Gonna get in there yet. I've got a few different options that I'm looking at. But it's ended up going ahead, gutting it out. Fixed a lot of holes, a lot of rust repair details. There was just holes drilled in the trunk and the floor in the back that just never were treated. So just like everywhere. So I had to sand everything down, paint it. Fix a lot of wiring, because I swear to God, if you use wire nuts from your house inside your car, you should be kicked in the fucking dick. Sorry, I was a little.
You feel strongly about this?
A little bit. Sorry. it's if you want to use like a wire nut, they make an automotive version. Don't use Home Depot. So there was.
Yeah, but it's so much cheaper.
It is. I've counted. I have a count 42 wire nuts. From this
Holy
car
shit.
Everything was wire nutted.
Oh,
like,
my goodness,
the alarm system was wire nutted, like, so
it's aggressive.
Like, so it's I cleaned up all the metal. I sound edited it with three different layers, so using a sound editing material, an insulated foam on top of it, and then mass loaded vinyl on top of that. New carpet. Upholstery actually gets back tomorrow. Door cards headliner gets back tomorrow. Funny part about that, I haven't checked up on it because I'm like, he'll just call me when it's done. I forgot to give him my phone number. So only this afternoon I was like, I should check on that. Oops. So, and then we have two new seats in there. Technically, they are the Trail Cats. They are black. They are diamond stitch, and they have seat warmers. So that is a nice little thing. I knew doubled in Pioneer Radio that I bypass all the safety switches, so you can play videos on it. You can actually go ahead and type in the address when you're looking to add in Waze while you're moving versus like, let me pull the car over. So yeah. So we've done that. So that is interior. Hopefully this weekend, most of the interior will finish up. Like I said, it will get into place, and then the full interior will be redone, less the rear seats, which has to go back, and then I'll have the rear seats reupholstered to match the front seats. I just didn't know how big of a diamond was on the front seat. And so because of that, I found other random quirky things as well, like new old stock floor mats from 96. So that was kind of a cool little find I found in the process. But we're doing that. And then starts another subset of more of that project afterwards. But I'm kind of keeping that one under wraps for a bit. But it's there's a lot more changes going to happen. It was the running joke, I think, when I was talking to Andre. I was like, I'm not going to build a big like project car again right now. And then it was just that, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So then I just started crossing. So we should be good there. Big interior swap should be done. Finally worked on the Miata, installed the radio, non-radio, got that taken care of, sounds and works well, cleaned up did the oil change, put too much oil in it somehow. So I need to drain some, and polished the oil pan, did the drive line. And still didn't do the windows because I have, not one, but two sets of window bushings, one that I bought and one that Oliver bought for his Miata that he gave me. And I have lost both of those. But that's been the projects. Lots of work. So
full this is how the Miata started.
Yep, exactly.
You're like, well, I guess I'll make a nice interior. And then.
Two years later.
It's like a show. Yeah. So you're going to have a show winning 4Runner.
In about 2 years.
Pretty soon. In about 2 years here. Shaved bay, ICBs.
LS Quap.
2UC ITB. It does sound good.
See, he's thought about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, we're getting along there. No, it was funny you mentioned just like the Japanese cars. So the other thing, the reason I was trying to get the Miata ready was to take photos to submit it for the Japanese Classic Car Show online. I forget, with it being online and being an old school Japanese show, how many international entrants are there this year. I keep seeing the photos of their cars that are popping up, and I'm just like, those are so cool. Never mind, I'm going to put my car away. Oh, don't post my car.
Come on. Is the deadline already passed?
Oh. I already submitted. I went ahead, submitted, washed the car. The only second time I've washed the vehicle. So ceramic coating, Drew, you're going to love it. It's magical. It's like water cleaned up. And then like, it was that morning, like a couple Sundays ago when it was like still 70s in the morning. Like I washed it in the morning and like, it didn't just immediately burn the water spots onto it. So it was so good. So no, I submitted in, you could have done a video walk around of the car. I did acquire a cell phone gimbal to try that.
You should let me know, and I would.
But yeah, no. So, yeah, I want to try it again some other time. But gimbals, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. But hey, one day I got plenty of time to sit at home and figure out how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe start your YouTube career.
Yeah, nobody wants to see this.
Hey, what's up, YouTube?
It's your boy.
It's your boy. It's the same car you saw last week and the same car you'll see every week, because I don't flip anything. I just spend money on the same fucking
This week, I'm going to order window bushings.
And lose them next Saturday. So we
I'm
can
just
do,
picturing, you know, this like week. the popular trend with YouTubers, car YouTubers, is to buy like salvage title or wrecked supercars. Or like the cheapest version of something. Like I bought the cheapest R8 in the country.
You can I looked like, at the cheapest 944 turbo in the country.
There you go. Well, before we get to that, I just want to finish this one.
Yeah.
Nick's channel would be like, I looked at the cheapest Miata in the country, and it's just like one subframe. And then next video, it's like a show winning. You know. Just
we call this movie
over
magic.
And over again. All right.
Except the videos come out 2 years apart.
They're 30 seconds long.
I know I haven't recorded a video in a long time, guys, so thank you for subscribing, all two of you. You think I'm dead? The car
he has like
now.
Super long right. hair and like this beard. Looks like a mountain man.
Walk out in the sunlight, you hiss, you know.
But yes, but that is those are my project updates. One of those is very important to another member in the group, because I can give advice to him on things now.
Andre, my friend, you have substantial updates on all fronts, and I'm so excited. You want to just jump into it before you say, yeah, I don't really have anything.
I guess.
You're excited. Don't even pretend you're not excited.
Don't even pretend.
I made somewhat progress in the BMW for a change.
What?
Nice.
I put some of the engine back together.
Most of it. Last photo you sent me, it looked like a complete short block at least.
How much is somewhat?
Well, I got the heads on, I got the cams in, I got the obviously the pistons and all that in.
That'd be bad if you didn't.
Huh?
Yeah, I put the head on. Forgot.
Yeah, this. Right.
Fuck.
You get to the point where you like crank it, and you just kind of hear the rods like clanking around.
What on earth is that rod knock?
Yeah, it's all 8 rod knocks. So it's. I mean, it's. You know, it's somewhat more back together, so that's something.
Nice. So, I don't want to put you on any timeline, but like percentage wise, how much do you think is left of the reassembly?
Somebody drawing.
No. Yes.
Drawing?
Somebody was drawing.
Okay.
So, yeah, your timeline.
Um, I don't know. I'd say I'm like over the halfway point, like way over the halfway point at this point.
That's good.
So I don't know. I just got to get all the timing stuff on and then slap all the accessories on. And essentially it's ready to go back into the car.
That's awesome.
I just have some weird hurdles to get over. Like the Harbor Freight engine hoist or stand. I can't fit the flywheel onto the back of the engine.
Oh, that's right.
So I can't pin the crank, which like normally I'd probably just wing it, but because I've had it apart so far, I want to have every double check insurance to make sure it's timed properly.
Right.
So I got to figure that out somehow.
Pry bar? You gotta put a pry bar like on the rear?
No. Well, no, because there's a hole in the flywheel that a pin goes through that locks the whole engine with the flywheel bolted on the back.
Mm-hmm.
It locks it at TDC.
Are you sure that's not optional?
Again, normally I'd just wing it, but because like I had the pistons out and the whole ass crank out, like I just want every little bit of insurance I can get.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I got to figure that out, and then just little odds and ends. But so in 2 years, I'll have a running car.
Cool. Dang! Cool. Just in time for Nick's reveal of the 4Runner.
Yeah.
You can unveil the cars side by side.
Frame off like, restoration. Wow.
I can see what work went into the 4Runner. What'd you do on this? Ah, I rebuilt the engine.
Well, Nick's like, I unwelded all the unibody parts. I took them apart and I welded them back together.
And I'm like, I put pistons in. Yay.
Did you only use one new piston though?
Oh yeah, yeah, I did. I bought one new piston. The reason I had to do the rod bearings is because one of the pistons dragged on a cylinder wall and ruined the block and ruined the piston itself, like the skirt was all damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked around and my best option ended up being a eBay piston that came out of a Land Rover. So
that's a little bit unreliability introduced.
If this engine wasn't doomed before, it's definitely doomed now. It's got one Land Rover part in it, so it's definitely not going to work.
Oh my god! Just watch. It's not going to be any of the pistons. You're going to like put it in gear, go down the street, and the drive shaft is going to rip out the transmission. Like what?
Yeah. So you know, little hurdles here and there. But I have a whole bunch of time off of work because we haven't gone anywhere this year, so I haven't used any time off.
Right.
So I was thinking I could like just like take a whole week off and actually like try to get it done.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you should do that.
So that's,
I think it's doable. If you're like over the 50% mark, that's probably doable within a week if you have that just full dedicated time. And with the weather getting nice.
Yeah. That's I'll have to, so I got super motivated and got a whole bunch done and then got very, very extremely sidetracked because, your boy done bought another car because he's stupid. I'm stupid.
Not stupid.
I contributed to the local economy. I did my part. I spent money.
You also kept our streak alive. We couldn't record another episode until one of us bought a new car. So this is why we're recording, honestly.
I went ahead and bought myself the crappiest and cheapest in the valley 4Runner that I could find.
Are you on YouTube?
I am without a camera. I'm living the YouTube life, but not filming it.
He's still talking to himself, but
yeah.
explaining things. What's up, boys? Like, okay.
Guys. I just vlog to thin air when I'm outside.
Mm. So tell us about this 4Runner. What's so it's all of the details?
It's a 99 four-wheel drive.
He's got two wheels on you, Nick.
I was going to say.
I do. I have two whole extra wheels.
Yeah. And two extra cylinders.
And a...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And a center lock.
Yeah.
Oh, well, doesn't have the center
lock? Yeah, it's the 90. Mm-hmm. The 90. That was the reason I specifically went for a 99 or higher, because they came with a optional center locking diff. And it's also got the rear locker, the factory rear locker.
Right, right.
Well, guys, unfortunately, this is last week of Andre on the podcast. He's moving over to the Overland AZ podcast. So you're welcome, Josh.
Right. Yep.
His boots haven't arrived yet, and neither does his vest. I was asking about this. You have to reach a certain threshold before boots only and cargo shorts arrive. So you're good.
Yeah, the boots and cargo shorts come in the package once you accumulate a certain amount of tent parts. I guess, for your rooftop. I don't know. I don't know how it all works yet.
Tactical patches for your
headliner. I'm still reading the manual, the overlanding manual. I'm still figuring it out.
Did you get the 50 mil for the antenna?
Oh, that's perfect.
It's like a proper ship box. Like
My friend.
It's like it's a proper. It's like something Drew would buy. Like,
is it rare though? Because it has a CDL.
Yeah. No, it's very rare because it's got the rear locker in it, which is kind of rare. So I got that going for me. Just been slowly making it safe to drive because it's questionable at this point.
So what was the motivation for this? Because historically, I think it's fair to say you haven't been the most pro 4x4 truck.
So the story arc of this is interesting. I want to hear this because he was the biggest BMW hater, and then he bought a BMW, and now he's been anti-Overland, and now he buys one. I think soon he's going to be requesting to buy a Miata soon. I don't know.
T30 Miata S2000 coming soon to an Andre interview.
Coming soon.
I need help, guys. I need an intervention. Somebody help me. This is a cry for help. Nobody's getting it.
And we're just enabling you. We're like, hell
yeah.
So technically, if he bought a Miata, he could put an S2000 engine in there and use the E6 or 48 transmission and get all three in one.
What the fuck is an E48?
It's a very rare European model.
Honestly, I didn't even know if that wasn't a thing, so I wasn't. I was just like, all right, make a note of that. I'll ask after.
It's the bastardized Miata he's gonna buy, and that's so rare. That's gonna be the license plate E48.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, Andre. We digressed.
I don't know. I'm just because nobody wants to hang out anymore because apparently there's like some kind of bubonic plague going on outside. I just got bored of sitting at home, so I want to go see stuff. And you can't really go see much in a lowered boat. So four-wheel drive. Here I am.
There you go.
Let me know when you go out, and I'll join you.
You've already been out once, right?
I wouldn't really call it. It was literally like 15 minutes in like a little playground area. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't off-roading by any means.
Like you went into a children's playground and drove up their slide.
Parents were screaming. Parents were screaming. It was the cop show. It was horrible. I barely got out of there.
I'm just picturing this like a tire swing. You're trying to get like the articulation, like trying to drive one tire up the tire swing so you can take the shot. Like the Jeeps and calves.
It was like at a play. It was like at a campground, right. Like off-road use area up in Prescott, and they had like a little area where, I mean, it was like, I think it was mainly for dirt bikes and ATVs, because it was like kind of narrow and small, but like it was just like a little where you can like jump your dirt bike and like go around little banked dirt turns and shit. And so I just like drove up a hill and took some pictures and drove down a hill and screamed a lot and then went home.
Are you gonna screamed?
It was. I've never off-roaded behind the as a driver, so it was terrifying. Yeah,
that must have been fun, right?
Yeah, no, it was a blast. Super enjoyed it.
Nice. So you've done some stuff to this, right? I know I'm kind of like leading the questions here because I already know what you've done to it.
Leading the witness.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it. I mean, I got cool tires. That's about the only like.
KO2s?
No, none. It doesn't. It's too cheap to spend that kind of money.
That's
on tires.
The only one I know. I don't know if they're expensive or cheap or not.
That's like about as good as you can get.
That's the Pilot Super Sport.
See, like you're already your expert.
Well, no, that's from my limited knowledge. I'm sure Josh would tell me I'm stupid, but
I was gonna say I like Toyo Open Country, but that's just
For your two wheel drive 4Runner.
Yeah.
I'll see myself out. This is a fucking Reddit page all over.
No, I've just done literally basic maintenance to keep this thing from being dangerous to drive. I'm slowly replacing all the bushings, all the brakes. I did a whole bunch of belts.
You're doing a big brake kit?
Kind of, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see.
Why is that a maybe? That's news to me. What happened?
Well, I held up the caliper to the like inside of the wheel, and I don't know if it's going to fit.
Did you do any research?
What? And my research always said before you did the tundra brakes, you needed to go to like 17.
The internet said that the wheels that I have and one other stock set of 16s from like a 2002 model year work with the tundra brakes.
Oh, that's fine.
And I'm hoping they do, but if not,
so
Andre, they're not allowed to lie on the internet. Literally everything there is true, so you're fine.
Okay, well, see, that's what I thought about, because the internet said that the tires that I got was the largest that would fit without rubbing, and when I was mounting them on the wheels, I was like, "There's no way
you are free.
There's no way these don't rub when I immediately back out of the." But they don't rub, and so the internet was right there. So you know, I don't see any reason to doubt them now.
People have figured out everything on these 4Runners, and also, and Nick, no offense as another 4Runner owner, but it seems like the community is very cheap. So if there's a way to fit big brakes,
oh no,
behind a stock,
they're
wheel,
fucking hella cheap. They are like, we don't. That's Andre. How many 4Runners have you ran into at the junkyards recently, Andre? Because every time I show up this last few weeks, there's always another one there.
Do you go to the junkyard every week?
Recently. Trying to find parts for Andre.
I need a couple parts because I too am also cheap. So, you know.
Turns out you're one of us. One of
us. Yeah.
One of us.
I fit right in. It's great.
Nice. Look at this. Everyone has a truck now except me and Ahmad. And Lang.
Yeah, but honestly, if I didn't need a truck, I probably won't own a truck.
You have the most truckiest of the trucks.
You have
it. You're the only one that actually has a truck.
It's named after a dinosaur. It has graphics down the side.
Mine does not have graphics, okay?
Does it say Raptor on the side?
It doesn't have the big vinyl graphic.
But it does say Raptor on the side.
Does it say Raptor?
I'm going to find a photo of it, so you can stay silent all you want.
The defense will rest.
Like, if you wanted to play that card, we'd have to go back to, like, 4 podcasts ago when I was telling you, you don't need a Raptor, you just need a normal truck. Why are you getting the most expensive of the trucks?
No, I'm saying if I didn't need a truck, I wouldn't have a truck. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to buy one I wanted.
Right.
And
you got one with...
According to Reddit, minus not a truck, minus a piece of trash, because heaven forbid anybody owns a two-wheel drive, you have to be, the adjectives just go on. I haven't been on there in a while, and when Andre got his, I was like, oh, let me check out the 4Runner Reddit page. One guy posted about his two-wheel drive 4Runner. I'm like, good to know. Not going to be that guy. My God.
Nick uninstalls the app. No, you got to be like, hey, guys, I just bought this two-wheel drive 4Runner with diamond stitch.
And just watch. Oh, just
please let me know when that happens so I can watch the Reddit servers burn down.
It's like when I've been asking questions, I like try not to like say anything.
Hey, bro, what kind of truck you got there, bro?
It's 4Runner.
Yeah, but is it 4-wheel drive, right?
4Runner?
Maybe.
Well, just
no.
At that point, just lie. At that point, just lie and say it is 4-wheel drive. Yeah. Like looking at a picture of it, you can't tell.
No, you can't. I was called out though on where somebody knew. They always like what I had found out because I was trying to find new interior door cards and I have manual windows. Like Andre's got the oak interior and all the power shenanigans. Oh. So I got. Manual windows on a blue mist, whatever they call it. And I was like, hey, it's these door cards. And they're like, oh, that's unicorn. Let me guess. Two-wheel drive, four-cylinder. And I was like, yeah.
Delete account.
It's just suddenly all of your username turns to deleted.
This post no longer exists.
And then a newly created account replies, how, what a loser.
Yeah, it's Andre, it's not literally I saw it. It is definitely not, he says it's the worst. It is
no,
not.
You saw it is. In the dark at 9 p.m. It's, trust me, it's bad. It's real bad. There's a Costco sized bag of half eaten sunflower seeds.
I was wondering where that was going.
You should probably everywhere start putting in the interior. In
the
cup, dude.
Is that
no? That's from the previous owner. I just keep finding them every time I put the seat down or move a piece of carpet. Or
can we talk about the process of buying this car? Because I was.
Oh yeah,
and that will also segue us very nicely into the 944 because I was part of the purchasing process for this vehicle, and boy, was it intense.
So I guess I bought it from a head boomer of the Boomer Association of Arizona.
Oh, you got it from Nick?
Damn it.
I got it. No, yeah, I got it from Rick, from Nick's manager, Rick. This dude was, I don't even, so like I texted him and I texted him, he didn't reply. And then I told Oliver to text him and then he finally replied.
You texted him and then it was nothing. You're like, what the hell is going on? And so I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try.
Right.
Just like, hey, I'm interested in the truck. Let me know when I could come look at it.
$5?
No, because unlike some people, I don't just lowball people like an asshole right off the bat. I actually like to go look at the vehicle.
That's weird because normally they still respond when I do that.
Oh yeah, just not positively.
Man, I wish I would have had you text this guy because this would have ended your fucking. You would have. This guy would have beat you. I can almost promise you that.
Well, no. So you texted him, but you know. It shows on your end because you have an Android show delivered, whatever. And you're like, well, this guy isn't responding. And so I tried just out of curiosity to see if I could find more information about it. And when I sent the message, I have an iPhone, he has an iPhone. So I messaged, it showed not even as delivered, like it was just pending, right? And I was like, dude, his phone is off or something. Like it's not going through. Mm-hmm. And so I tried one more time, still nothing. And I'm like,
oh no, now I remember. So I emailed, because I texted him and I got nothing. So I emailed him through the link on Craigslist, and I got a response, and he was like, yes, it's still available. Like, you can come look at it whenever. Text me at this number, which is the same number from the thing. So I texted the number again, and then he still didn't respond.
Right. And then I started getting the red notifications.
Right. And then like, 2 days later, I assume his wife responded through the email. And she said, yeah, you can come look at the truck on this day, which is like a, I don't know, like a Tuesday or something. Like, we're available at this time. Text
this number.
Was this
on the west side?
No, this is actually on the east side. So
yeah,
I'm never buying a car from your side of town again.
That's fair. It doesn't happen often anyways.
good luck finding another.
Say, it won't happen often enough.
So his wife said that, like, I can come look at the truck at this time on this day and to text the number, which is the number from the ad. So I texted the number to confirm and then got no reply. So then, like, a day goes by, and then he finally replies, and he's like, yeah, like, we're available until, like, 6 or something. And I was like, well, I get off work at 5, like, I can be there at 5:30. Does that work? And he's like, no, the next day works. I was like, okay. So, like, I set it up, I confirm it, the next day comes around. I text him in the morning, no answer. 5 o'clock, I hop in the car and start driving down to fucking Chandler or where Mesa or wherever it was. And I'm like halfway there and I text him like, hey, I'm on my way. Like, send me an address. No reply. Mm-hmm. So I get there to like the general area where, you know, the Craigslist map shows like a little circle. So like I just went to the center of that circle. And pulled over in a parking lot. And so then I called him and he finally answered like nothing, like I haven't been texting him all day. And I'm like, hey, I was just texting you and you said I could come look at this truck today. I'm here. And he was like, oh, I'm busy. I can't show it right now.
Oh.
So I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So like, he was like, but you can come tomorrow. And I was like, okay, you can just roll over and die, old man. So then I went home, whatever. And then, like, I thought about it some more, and I was like, well, you know, it looks pretty shitty in the photos, but, like, what if it's – oh, so – and also in the post, in the photos, there was 3 pictures, all from the outside, all with, like, 3 pixels. So there's – you couldn't tell anything about the truck except for I knew the year and the trim level. So I knew it had the right transfer case that I wanted. I just didn't know if it had a locker or not. So I was like, okay, well, what if it does have a locker by some bizarre, rare, you know, chance? Like, rare. It's really cheap, right? And it's really cheap to have all those options. So, like, let me, you know, let me just try again. So I go look at it the next day. I finally, like, actually get show up, look at it, whatever. It's a pile of shit. I go test out the four-wheel drive. Everything works. Everything's still a pile of shit. I go home. I think about it. And I'm like, well, it's the cheapest pile of shit. Because, like, if you get one that's, like, less shitty, the price jumps, like, $3,000 or $4,000. So, like, I'll just get the pile of shit, whatever. So, like, I call him. I'm like, hey, I want to buy your pile of shit. He's like, great. I show up the next day. I show up the next day with my old roommate, Matt. And, like, I test drive with him just to, like, have somebody else there confirm that, like, yes, it's a pile of shit, but, like, it's not a bad idea, right? You know?
You didn't want, like, a redo of last year?
Exactly. I didn't want just, like, an echo chamber of, like, yeah, buy this, this is great. You know, I held
the Greyhound station down while you guys test drove it, so. Sorry, go on.
So, me and Matt drive it, and Matt's like, this is awesome, you should definitely buy it. Like, it's a pile of shit, but, like, you can make it slightly less shitty, and it'll be, you know, a decent pile of shit. I'm like, cool, let's do it. And so now we start negotiating on price. And so, like, I say, I'm like, would you take this much? And he's like, no, but I'll take this much. And I'm like, well, how about we meet in the middle? Or no, he said, how about we meet in the middle of his asking price and what I offered? And so he says the number that's in the middle, and I say $100 less than that. And he thinks about it. He thinks about it, and he's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'm good with that. We shake hands. We fucking shook hands in the middle of a pandemic. This fucking old man. We shook on it.
Wow. It's a blood pact right there.
Matt heard it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy with it.
Did you guys spit in your hands first?
I touched my dick and then I shook his hand. It was real. It was real. So I count out the money.
I don't do Craigslist deals with you anymore.
I count out the money. He goes, gets the title. I check everything over. I hand him the money. Like, I count it out in front of him. I hand him the money. He counts it out. He miscounts because I'm pretty sure he's drunk and he's like 80. So he recounts again, gets it right, goes, cool, we're good. He also writes up a bill of sale. Whatever. I crumple that shit up, throw it in the truck. I don't need it. It's a worthless piece of paper to me. I hop in, start driving home. I'm ecstatic. I bought a pile of shit. I bought a pile of shit. It's great. I'm so happy. About halfway home, this old man texts me, and he's like, hey, if you look at your money, you're going to find that you're $100 more than you should have. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he was like, we agreed on this price. And I was like, no. And I like replayed him our conversation and how it happened. And I was like, we agreed on my price and we shook on it. And then everything. And he was like, no, if you look at your bill of sale, it says this much. And like, we agreed on this much. So I dig up this crumpled piece of paper and I look at him. Sure enough, this idiot wrote the wrong price. He also misspelled my name after I spelled it out for him. And like, I was like, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you had a problem with the price, you should have said something while I was there. Like, we literally shook on it, you piece of shit.
Yeah, he had an ample opportunity. I think he just forgot.
Wait, yeah, no, you know so what? Did you deliver the $100 to him or no?
No, so I had to. I took his plate home because like so I can drive home. But I had to drive all the way back there to get Matt's car because it was still out on the west side. So I told him I'd return his plate, you know, while I like went to get Matt's car. So like I just drove by his house and I frisbeed the plate into his front yard, and I texted him. I was like, you're lucky you got your plate back. It's in your front yard.
Please tell me on the back of the plate you wrote, fuck you.
You know what? I didn't think about that.
It's
really
all non-aggressive. Like...
I really should. I didn't think about it. So I should have done that. So at any rate, I left, it's done. Like he kind of ruined the whole sale thing. I'm now pissed off. I got this pile of shit that I'm mad about because this guy's pile of
dude,
shit.
What are you talking about? You took an old man with Alzheimer's for $100. You won. You won.
You are living the American dream, my friends.
But it's just like, I don't know. It just, it's,
here's the
I don't
thing.
Like
I want
to.
I want to emphasize
Big Pharma and Andre screwing over the old.
easy there, Pfizer. Look, I want to emphasize because, like, I think I don't want people to for it to come off as like you abused an elderly man for $100. This guy really was.
I just did training on this.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, he wasted
hours and hours of your day the day before. I mean, you probably paid over $100 in gas. Going
back. Very easily. It was so much gas.
It's not a short drive. It was what, like a 40-minute drive?
It was like 45 miles from my house to this.
And he wasted just so much of your time the day before that, like, I felt like it was kind of, even though you were in the right, it was kind of karmic justice after all that he felt kind of wronged just for wasting all your time and stuff like that. Like, I mean, he really, because I texted him too. He was kind of a jerk about the whole thing. So
yeah,
I can only imagine what he was like in person.
Well, see, that's the thing is, when I got there, originally he was like it was fun, like he was super cool, and like we had a great conversation about the truck, and like he disclosed all of the like bad things about it, and like so far looking over, like, I haven't found anything that he hasn't, you know, that he didn't tell me about. So, like, he was very upfront. He was very honest. Like, He was legitimately trying to sell it. He was just like, just fuck that guy. And so the next day he texted me and was like, hey, can I get your name and address for the sold notice? Like to submit it online. And I was like, you don't need my name and address. You just click the button that says like sell or buy or unknown. Yep. Yeah. And so then he didn't respond. Then the day after that, he texted me again and he's like, hey, I see that you already registered the truck. Can I get your name and address for the sold notice? And so at that point, I just didn't respond and I haven't heard from him since. So
easy enough. Yeah, it's probably best to just leave it, especially after the deal's done. I tend to stop replying, not because it's like I don't have anything to hide, but like the deal is done. Like you don't really need to keep going into it deeper. So
yeah. So
well, congrats on the new truck. Congrats. Sorry, the buying experience was a hassle, but I mean, I'm excited to see this thing in person eventually someday. I still haven't seen it. So.
The longest con would have been just if he would have showed up and it would have just been Drew. Like it was just like it was like a 4-day ploy of him just sending Andre to Chandler to drive back and just like
for some auction 4Runner, a 4-cylinder rear wheel drive.
So that's the thing about this 4Runner, like it's a pile of shit, like it's a proper pile of shit, but it's a two owner pile of shit that's been in the same family since it was new. Like the guy that sold it to me, his brother bought it brand new from the dealer. And then, like, his daughter drove it to college, and then he sold it to the guy that I bought it from. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I found the original window sticker in the glove box.
Desiree, you told me about that, the irony, that you found the window sticker for this car, but you never had the Evo.
It was the Evo window sticker.
Yeah. So, it was decently maintained for the most part. Like, they fixed things that needed to be fixed. It just sat out in the sun and decayed in the last, I'm assuming in the last like 5 years of its life, it just kind of went all downhill. Cause like the interior is just shot. The seats are fucked. The paint is fucked. Everything's fucked.
I can't wait.
Sounds like a good buy, man. Congratulations.
No, I'm pumped. It's great. I'm pumped. Once I get some brakes on it, so it actually stops.
And then I'll bring you that seat this weekend, hopefully.
Oh well, if you finish it this weekend, I'll come get it because I got to test out the new brakes. So
sounds good.
Should come by, say hi. I'd like.
Yeah,
to see
that's
it.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're out and about in the world. You don't mind visitors. Well, we can swap COVID. It'll be fun.
Heck yeah! You want to shake hands?
Yeah, but only if you touch your penis first.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, I gotta go. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, that took an unexpected turn. You know, I feel like this is a decent that specifically is somehow a decent segue into Drew's adventure yesterday. Yes. That specifically. What on earth happened yesterday? Because you also had a crappy buying experience that resulted in a no buy.
Yeah, no buy.
Which is a first for you, I think. Because you bought a 335i from Vegas that was smoking.
So. Yeah, no, that ended up being a good car for what it was and the money. You know, I'm not going to say it's an example of one, but it was a decent car. But
that car is going to financially ruin somebody.
Dude, just not you. Every BMW, look at Oliver. That thing's supposed to be simple. Oh, by the way, I just want to point out that we hit the year mark on three cars in this group being purchased, and mine is the only one that I could drive to the store in right now.
Hey, hold on. It has not been a year yet since I've owned the E39, so there's still hope.
Okay, there's 2 days.
If I finish it this week before the weekend... I could totally still make it.
You know what? I honestly wouldn't doubt that you would just do that out of spite. So those that don't know, Oliver went last weekend a year ago to buy his E36, and I'm muted?
No, I said yes, nope. I did.
Oh, I thought you said you're muted. I'm like, what?
No.
And then on the way home, I found my 912, and I went and bought my 912. And a week later, Andre went and bought his
E48.
Yes. E whatever-ish.
That's the E39 that came with the supercharger. So.
That's right, E39. The E whatever-ish. All right, so my buddy Eric has been getting the itch to get like a sports car, I guess. He has a bus and a bug, but he's like, you know, I want to be able to go on like canyon runs and stuff like that. And we've been looking for a while for a 944 and also a Honda Prelude. Like, those were the two cars they really wanted. And
same thing.
Yeah. We checked out a couple 944s around town, and they were in like the 5 to 7 range, and they just were pretty beat up, honestly. And I found one of us found this ad in Albuquerque, and it's a 1986 944 turbo, you know, pretty cool car, $6,500. All right. Or originally he wanted like $7,500, and he dropped the price to $65 after 2 weeks. But he had all the paperwork showing that the motor was rebuilt. He's like, yeah, my brother's in a wheelchair. He's owned it the last like 5 years, and you know, he just can't drive it anymore. And so, you know, Eric kind of continues talking to him. He sends him a bunch of pictures. Like, all right, you know, the guy seems pretty legit. The guy's like, yeah, I'll hold it for you guys so you can drive out. So I leave.
I'm sorry, I missed. Where was the car at?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque. I missed that somehow.
Never again.
It's such a fun drive, though.
So,
yeah, what's it like driving 7 hours with an empty trailer one way and then back?
Let me tell you. So, yeah, Tuesday night, grab the trailer, leave my house 6 a.m., get there at like 3:30 p.m., and check it out. And the second we pull up, I got a pretty good gut like on reading somebody. And second, I see this guy, he's like standing in front of his house. I'm like, this isn't going to be good. And like legitimately, you know, because in the pictures, you could see like this back of this Z4 as well. And it looked really nice. And then I see the front of it, and there's, you know, it looks like an oil bomb went off in the driveway, and the headlights are, you know, like a manila folder. Just,
it's a factory option.
Yeah. And so this guy, I don't know if he had water on or oil, but in all the pictures, the paint looks awesome. Paint's effed.
I was going to ask about that because effed. The photos you sent us and the photos that you had showed me before you went to go get it, because Eric showed me the photos on his phone, it looked like a completely different car. Like, you got bait and switch.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, the only reason I know I wasn't bait and switched is because it was in the same spot the photos were taken.
Because the Z4?
Yeah. But, I mean, like, the paint was completely off. Okay. All right. Well, you know, he was planning on wrapping anyways. I'm like, was this thing hit? He's like, no. Why? I'm like, because this hood's like three, like, there's like a half inch gap on one side, and then the other side is like right against the fender. I'm like, yeah, maybe they just misaligned it. And then we start walking around the back, and there's a big old dent in the back hatch that like just never felt obligated to send photos of. So, you know, we ask, we're like, does back hatch open? No, it doesn't work. It doesn't open. Probably because there's a big ass dent there. But that's a very tedious job to open it up. My brother-in-law, Aaron, his dad owned a 944 turbo, and they completely rebuilt the whole thing. And then he owned one as well, just not a turbo. And so he's really well versed in these cars. He's like, dude, that's a nightmare job. And so we're continuing going over the car, and like, there's clear water damage on all the interior, like not all the interior, but like leather coming off, stuff like that. Like, things that he just like, you know, a picture would just be two inches away from showing that damage or inch away, like just hiding everything. And then, I start the car and he's like, yeah, you know, motor was rebuilt 45,000 miles ago, super strong runner. I start up and it's like, blah, 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 and then starts like going, like, all right, I give it gas. Second you give it gas, thing just falls on its face, just boop, and then we'll recover and then come back to life. I'm like, ah, fudge. And then like I rev it like 3-4 times and then just the tack dies, like just completely dies. I'm like, all right.
So like this thing's not even operational.
No,
like, you couldn't even take it for a test drive. And he wanted how much for it?
He wanted 65. We had discussed 55 since we were coming from Arizona. And I was like looking at it, and you know, here's the thing: if the paint would have been good, and it might have been engine and interior work, okay. If the interior would have been really nice, and it's like paint work and a little bit of motor work, okay. Or engine would have been awesome. Like, to pick one out of the three, if one would have been like really good, okay, I can work with that. But I'm like looking at Eric, and the thing is like, God bless Eric, I love him to death. This is basically another project car for me. Like, everything will be done at my house. So I'm like, I don't really want to invest in the next 6 months of my life to get this thing going.
Well, also not at that price, you know.
Yeah, no, not at that price at all. I like look at the guy, I'm like, dude, like I'm not trying to be a dick here. I literally said that. I'm like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but this I don't even know if this is a $3,500 car. He's like, whoa, 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 dude. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, look at it, you know. He's like, well, these things are selling in the 20s. Like, people are asking in the up to 20 for these. They're not selling for that, and the ones that are museum pieces. And
it's the bring a trailer effect,
dude. And this guy, yeah, he's like, well, I'll throw in a set of phone dials for, you know, those are worth $1,000. I'm like,
those are worth $100 on a good day.
Yeah.
It's like the most worthless Porsche wheel.
Essentially, we didn't even offer. I said, you know, because he was like, no. I'm like, well, call it's my brother's car. There's no way in hell he'll go down that. Well, I'm like, call him, dude. Like, we're here. We just drove 7 hours. Like, if there's a proper price, then like maybe we can figure that out, but it sure as hell isn't $5,500 because this thing's gonna need 7 into it. And yeah, we were just there for like 10 minutes. I'm like, let's go, dude. He's like, yeah, sure. Like, seriously, like, yeah, we're not paying $5,500 for this paperweight. So
yeah
dude, like Albuquerque sucks. No, he was probably in his 40s. And I don't know, man. It was really weird. He was talking about how he's owned all these 911s and seemed really well versed in Porsches. But I don't know, maybe he pulled Albuquerque and just started doing meth or drugs or something and fell away from success. But I don't know. Like, the whole thing kind of reeked of like a little bit of a lie.
Well, no kidding. Just from, again, like the photos that you guys showed me and then the photos that you sent from when you were there, I swear it was a different car. You know?
Yeah, dude. Brutal.
That sucks.
Brutal.
Man, that's
so
the
worst. Was gutted. He felt terrible.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's another 1,000 miles on the truck. Basically there and back, and, you know, a day away from the kids and life, but it is what it is.
I mean,
tomorrow. That's what I told him. I'm like, listen, man, you did the right thing. You know, I think this guy was halfway thinking that we'd be so invested because we drove from Arizona that we just cough up the money. And that would have been a double mistake. You know, right. If this happened, it is what it is. Right. So tomorrow we're actually looking at a Prelude in Tucson that's in pretty good shape, honestly. It looks like it's in pretty good shape, but you never know until you go. I really don't want to go there. I don't want to drive there at all. But yeah, he's like, well, what about this Prelude? Like, you know, this was the other car that I was really looking for. I'm like, yeah, like, I have a lot of knowledge. I'm pretty well versed in Prelude, so
it's almost like you've had a few Hondas before. There.
Yeah,
dude, just a little bit. Yeah,
watch, you're gonna get there, and this guy's gonna roll out in a wheelchair, and it's gonna be the guy's brother.
Yeah, I got a brother in New Mexico.
He's selling a 944. You guys see those? Dude.
this thing was like a shack, and he was telling me that his brother was like, you know, like one of the guys that closed the Oakley merger and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, Doc.
That's all really strange. It's best to walk away from that, especially those cars are, from what I understand, 944s. You really need a well kept one to like do well on it.
Yeah,
they're sensitive in a lot of weird areas. Like they have some complicated bits that, if they're neglected, it takes just way too much money to get them back up to snuff.
Yeah, and well, so that's the problem. Is I looked at the guy. I'm like, this isn't like I'm buying parts for a Volkswagen here. This isn't like I'm buying parts for a Honda. Like, in fact, comparably to 911s, a lot of the parts for 944 are more expensive. All the plastic bits in the interior, more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's less of a market for them.
Exactly. And so you're paying the Porsche tax and then some. So, it just didn't work out. And I posted on my Instagram, and it was interesting how many people reached out and was just like, dude, that is horrible. Yeah. Like I thought maybe one or two people would reach out, but there were like 15 people who were just like, dude, I'm so sorry.
I think I just laughed at it.
Yeah, like, you idiot. What you get for selling a 7 Series.
No, I felt bad. That sucks.
Yeah. I just felt bad for him, man. He wants to go cruise with all of us bad, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's not far away from that, and it's worth holding out for the right car, you know?
Yeah, and he's like hanging out with Aaron and I too. And Aaron's my brother-in-law with FD, for those, you know, just tuning in, Josh. So, you know, he's excited because we're talking about like, dude, like the 930 is finally in the spot. Like, it will be weather for the 930 and the FD here soon. He's like, I want to do this. I want to do this with you guys. And I don't have a platform that I can do it in.
I mean, look, like with the M3, As many problems as I have had recently, actually, I got a very good example of one. And,
dude, great price, too, especially with what the market's done in the last year.
Yeah, I mean they're skyrocketing. But I'm sure I've told you guys all the story individually. But the week before I went to go buy that one, I actually looked at another E36 M3 here in Phoenix. And it belonged to a friend of mine who actually has, like, 4 or 5 E36s kicking around his house. And I had seen the car years prior. Like, I hadn't seen it in a couple years. And he had messaged me and he said, oh, well, I'm thinking about getting rid of my white sedan. You know, if you're interested, here's the price. I think he wanted $4,000 for that one. It had like 220,000 miles on it.
Auto or
manual? It was auto. And that was the other thing, right? And the thing is, I told myself, I'm going to go look at this one, but I'm not going to buy it, because if I go to California and the other one doesn't pan out, I have a backup, right? Because I couldn't find a sedan, period. And I went to look at it, and I test drove it, and like it had been sitting for a while, and it was pretty tired. The paint was good as opposed to mine, but like the interior was pretty rough. It was that, what's the name of it? The magma interior. It's like a caramel color. And
like a baseball color glove?
Yeah, it's like a little bit deeper brown. But it had that, it's like that magma interior, and the magma interior E36s came with like an orange carpet and the carpet was like deeply stained. And I was looking at all that, I'm like, this is all stuff that I'm gonna want to change. And I
don't know, dude. Car. What you're describing right now sounds pretty badass. I think you made a mistake.
Oh yeah, totally. The thing is though, I mean it's sort of the same story as like, I mean, younger me probably would have just bought the first thing that I possibly could, because it's like, oh, I want it. It's right here. You know, I'll manual swap it. I'll change the carpet, stuff like that. And I waited literally in that case just a week, and I got a car that was already manual, immaculate interior, literally 100,000 miles less for $500 more.
So, yeah, definitely worked out.
Yeah.
Changing carpet sucks. So made the right call.
I don't know. It's actually pretty easy in the Porsche. You just take off the seats and there's like three panels.
The remove the floor mat. And
exactly.
Well, you can also separate the body from the floor pan, you know, and the engine's held in by four. Oh, that's a Beetle. Right. Sorry.
Yeah, and 912.
No, that's held in with all thread. That's a completely different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that was my whole point, is like it'll probably work out for the best for him long term to wait for a good example of a car, because
that's what I told him too. I'm like, honestly, dude, even if you bought one for 10 grand, you'd be saving money over this.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I've heard this discussion many times. It's like, what's the best value, right? Like, some people argue, well, you buy the cheapest example, and then, you know, you can not only put money into fixing it, but also upgrade as you go along. So by the time you're done spending the same amount, you'll have a higher quality car. I don't necessarily buy that. I think what Matt Farah says this all the time, and I agree with it now, is you buy the most expensive or best version of the one you can possibly afford. Yeah. And don't worry about like room for mods and stuff like that, because long term it's going to pan out for you way better getting the absolute best version that you can possibly afford within your bracket rather than cheaper one.
Cool.
The only area where I disagree on that is like, obviously for our cars, it makes sense. Like the 930, the M3, you know, the E39-ish, like those cars, it makes sense. But when you're buying like a Civic or something where there's more parts readily available, then it kind of makes a little bit like, then it could go either way.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not
unless the paint's trash.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Unless the paint's trash, you'd never buy a car with trashed paint. That's just stupid. Who would do that? What kind of absolute idiot would do that? God, what a fucking idiot! Who would do that?
I know you're making fun of yourself, but I feel attacked too. Since that's
stupid, man.
Oh,
that is just dumb. Wow.
I mean, perfect example. Look at Nick. Look at how many parts he got from the junkyard. With Miata, it's, you know.
None.
I was going to say, they're all brand new.
I was like, no, if you want to go cheap example, yeah, no, it's...
Yeah.
My 4Runner was four times as cheap as Andre's. So it's...
I thought you got yours for free.
Roughly. It was like...
So Andre also got hers for free? Andre, like I think Drew said it best, it's a little bit different with the 4Runner. One, because that market is absurd.
Yeah.
You know, you can find a 200,000 mile 4Runner and it'll still be 10 grand. So that
might be everyone I looked at was over 200,000 miles.
Right. And the other thing the parts are so absurdly plentiful for those.
Yeah.
That I think...
Except interior panels, unless you have oak. Andre is actually in the best option because he got the oak interior, that tan. Literally, you can buy every freaking panel known to man.
There you go.
Like 17 different versions of it, like tonight on eBay. He's definitely in the right regard there.
So you're saying they didn't make a lot of the two-wheel drive, four-cylinder interiors?
Deleted account.
It's rare. It's rare. capital RARE, rare,
rust free.
This one doesn't have a sunroof.
Slick top. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like that was an eventful podcast. I don't really have anything else to add.
Yeah, I got so much more I could talk about. We could talk about 7 Series. We could talk about.
I feel like we got. Well, that's like a whole episode of its own.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm fine never talking about that car ever again.
Oh, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, Andre messed it up pretty bad.
Yeah.
You're suing him. All right.
Wait, hold on. There is one note I want to say. So I'm going through this process of like going through all of our boxes and like throwing away things and like discarding stuff from our house that we just picked up from moving and having kids and crap like that. And in one of the boxes, yeah, dude, it's been crazy. But in one of the boxes I found, I ordered The Chronicles, Volume 1. And if you don't know, it's like StickyDillJoe.com or something like that. And he's been a photographer. And in the early 2000s, he was going, you know, around all around America and Japan doing these amazing photo shoots of like these awesome JDM cars. I found this book and it just made me so happy. Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know if you guys know Maria Kondo, and it's basically like, if you touch something and like gives you joy, then keep it. And I like picked it up and like my whole body was radiating. I'm like, dude, this is such a cool book. And I was just so happy to like
throw it away.
Exactly. If you don't enjoy it, throw it away.
That's and why I sleep in a trash can at night.
And there goes my cars.
This guy's asking $12,000 for a Miata? What?
All about that.
That's actually low market now.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's worth 13 to 14.
What?
Fuck.
All right. Sorry. Those easy pickings.
On damn. That bombshell.
It's been 3 months that the beating's been saving up. Okay, we're good.
We had to get it out, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, I agree. I know the feeling. I wish I had that with the M3. All right. On that depressing note, thanks everyone for listening. Appreciate it. I know it's been a while. I don't know when the next one will come out, when we feel like it, when we want to talk about the E38. I think it's still a little too raw for some of the people in this call. So,
and that concludes our podcast for forever.
Well, no, then we need we'll need the E48 update from Andre.
Yeah.
On the
our last episode will be when the E48 is finished.
I for a second I forgot that that was a thing, and I was like, "What the fuck's an E40?" Oh, that's right. Got me. Right. Got me again.
That's how we do. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks.